looking pincers. Wearing an expression of grim intent, he forced the medieval tool into the terrified man's mouth. There was a long, blood-curdling scream. Will Scarlet stopped dead in his tracks. He had expected to find Robin and the others gathered around the campfire, cooking a mouth-watering meal of spit-roasted rabbit. But as he peered through the lush green foliage of Sherwood Forest, he saw something altogether different. The rabbit was roasting all right, but rather than warming themselves around the flickering flames, Robin, Much, and Alan a Dale were bound roughly to nearby trees, stripped to the waist. From his leafy hiding place, Will couldn't identify the four assailants. So, keeping his distance and staying well out of sight, he tracked around the edge of the clearing to get a better look. Leaning casually against his tree trunk, Robin wore an expression of utter calm. He looked, for all the world, as if he were captured every day of the week, and that, really, it was no big deal, because he would have escaped long before the campfire died anyway. Much was more agitated. "You are making a mistake," he said, watching as the youngest attacker checked their purses and coat pockets for money. Roy had heard it all before. "What?" he said irritably. "Are you going to send an army to hunt us down and tear us limb from limb? You think we're frightened of the sheriff?" He turned to the giant of a man who watched from beyond the campfire, by far the most imposing of the captors. "We're frightened?" he demanded. The giant, Little John, shook his head and grunted. "No." Much tried again. "No," he said patiently. "We are also against the sheriff."
"What do you want?" sneered Roy.
"A medal." Little John reached towards the fire and plucked the rabbit from the flames. Without waiting for it to cool, he tore hungrily at the flesh with his teeth. "We should be on the same side," continued Much, growing more and more worried by the second. "We should. Master, tell him." Robin shrugged but refused to speak. At that moment, the sight of the hot rabbit meat disappearing into Little John's cavernous mouth distracted Much. "I think you'll find that that is not yet cooked," he said. Little John carried on eating.
"I think you'll find he ate some raw," said Hanton, another of the outlaws.
"Raw?" asked Much anxiously. "Is that why? Is that he's dangerous?"
"Ooh," said Roy, totally unfazed. "You are noble," he said to Robin.
Robin paused for a moment before replying, "Yes and no." Forrest, the fourth outlaw, sniffed deeply.
"Smells like one," he said. "Smells lovely. Flowers. Lavender."
"Rose petals," corrected Much, thinking longingly of the petal-strewn bath he'd enjoyed during his brief stay at Loxley Manor. It didn't look like they'd be returning to Robin's ancestral home any time soon. Not after their fight with the Sheriff of Nottingham and his men.
"What?"
Forrest interrupted Much's daydreaming. "You rub it on, do you? Lavender balm?" He sniffed again.
"You smell too."
Much set the record straight. "No, I had a bath. He washed with rose petals."
"And they reckon the serfs,"
Hanton said scornfully to his fellow outlaws.
"Think about it. Now any serfs who take lavender baths?"
"No," said Roy.
"John?"
Little John, who was still busy eating, shook his head.
"It is not lavender," insisted Much, fit to burst with frustration.
While everyone bickered, Robin scanned the clearing with the practiced eye of an archer, and not just any old archer. Robin of Loxley had taken part in the King's Crusade for 5 long years. He'd fought in the most bloodthirsty of battles, witnessing unmentionable suffering. He'd cheated death. And he'd killed, too. And now, Robin knew the importance of keeping alert. So it was hardly surprising that he instantly spotted Will Scarlet hidden among the foliage. When Will held up his knife, he shook his head. Now was not the time to fight back. Triumphantly, Forrest produced a small semicircle of metal from Alan Adale's pocket.
"Got a penny here, John," he said.
This got Robin's attention. "You have the horses," he said firmly. "Leave him his apony."
"How come you got no purse?"
asked Roy, curious now. "I was not planning to be in the woods," said Robin. He turned awkwardly, angling his head toward Little John.
"Is this what you do? Stealing willy-nilly?"
"Stealing willy-nilly."